Okay, friends, now we go on. We have reached page 287 of the Leo chapter. I really love this sign. I feel, you know, somehow very connected with it. Maybe it's more of an effort for someone like me to work in understanding Virgo. But here some interesting possibilities have been suggested, and I was working to see what would happen if we tried the method the Tibetan used of looking at a sign and what that sign may be half of in terms of number, and then counting backwards from Pisces or from Aries to reach the sign and making a triangle of it. Let's just say that, well, I'll do it this way. Whoops, let's try to make that number. All right, we'll just start here. Taurus is half of Cancer, as 2 is half of 4. Cancer is, let's see, how to, no, Taurus, I guess it would be Taurus, wouldn't it? That's how he started. Taurus, this is a more legitimate way of doing it than I did before. Taurus is either 11 signs from Pisces clockwise or 12 from Aries clockwise. So a triangle of Taurus, Cancer, and Aquarius could be created, or if we start clockwise with Aries, we would have Taurus, Cancer, and Pisces. All of them interestingly related to the moon. You see, what I'm doing here is DK started counting backwards or clockwise with Pisces, but I think it's legitimate to start with Aries as well. Let's try another one just for fun. So, let's see. I'm afraid I've got my numbering a bit messed up here. I'm just starting with, I'll do it this way. Okay. We'll say that point A is this, and point B is this, and we'll start with a sign and what it is half of. Okay. Now let's try another one. And in order to number this more properly, I will use numbers and letters. So we'll come down over here. I occasionally take these kind of digressions, if you will permit. It is to demonstrate how one can use a system suggested by DK to create triangles, let us say. Gemini, which is a 3, is half of Virgo, which is a 6. Numbering from clockwise from Pisces, Virgo is a 7. The 7th sign counterclockwise is Libra. Numbering from Aries, Virgo is an 8. And the 8th sign counterclockwise is Scorpio. So we have 2 triangles. And they always come as a surprise to me, you know. Gemini, Virgo, and Libra, or Gemini, Virgo, and Pisces, Gemini, Virgo, and Scorpio. And that, of course, is quite a legitimate one. Gemini, Virgo, and Scorpio, all ruled by Mercury. And well, we could go into the meanings here. You know, we have let's just say we have the first one is the triangle in which the pairs of opposites are separated in Gemini. Then comes Virgo, in which there's a fusing and blending and a greater awareness of the higher of the pairs of opposites as it begins to fuse and blend with the lower. And then comes Libra, in which a decision must be made between these pairs of opposites to go forward into Scorpio. So there is a building up of the power of the greater of the pairs of opposites as it's organizing itself for battle, etc. The other one, Gemini, Virgo, and Scorpio, gives us the separated pairs of opposites. They're fusing and blending, so the soul is coming into increasing power, and then Scorpio, the soul, comes into finally dominating power. So we're moving more intensively into discipleship. Let's try another one, just for fun, if you'll go along with me on this. A Cancer is half of Scorpio. Okay, because Cancer is 4 and Scorpio is 8. We immediately see the connections between them, don't we? See, we're kind of expanding our methods into the new esoteric astrology. Now, beginning with Pisces, counterclockwise, we find that Scorpio is the 5th sign. So Leo is the 5th sign counterclockwise. Beginning PG with Aries, Scorpio is the 6th sign, and so Virgo is the 6th sign counterclockwise. So two triangles emerge, and they are Cancer, Scorpio, and now we seem to be doubling back upon ourselves, Cancer, Scorpio, and Leo. That's an important one. And also Cancer, Scorpio, and Virgo. And we could come up with an interpretation. Now, we've already done the one that is, we've already done Leo, Capricorn, and Scorpio. And I suggested that Leo, Scorpio, and Sagittarius were also possible. Looking at these particular triangles, and maybe wanting to make this a little bit smaller because it's getting a little bit out of hand here. Cancer, Leo, Scorpio, we have the movement from mass consciousness to individual consciousness and the proving of that individual consciousness as the Christ consciousness in many tests. So Scorpio is releasing the individual consciousness from its limitations. Scorpio stages the release of Leo. So let's list them actually in order. It's Cancer, Leo, Scorpio. Now, and let's just list them in zodiacal order since we're trying to talk about the more advanced man. We have Cancer, Virgo, and Scorpio. If we were to start with Aries. So, Cancer is the mass consciousness, the beginning of the integration of the personality. Virgo, another one of the lunar signs, makes it possible for the deeply recessed consciousness to emerge a little further into prominence. It's growing in the womb of matter. Cancer is matter, pure and simple. Matter is really dominating. Virgo, the Christ child, is growing within matter, and in Scorpio, the Christ child proves itself on every level. Interesting how much we're dealing with the mother in these three signs, Cancer, Virgo, and Scorpio, because the a great ocean of matter is found in Cancer. It's the number four, relating to the material aspect. Virgo is also the mother, and it's one of the M signs, therefore deeply connected with matter. And Scorpio is also one of the M signs, deeply connected with matter, but proving the power of the Christ consciousness and the Christ abilities within matter. So I think, you know, what's the important thing here? I mean, one can go on with this method. You know, what one could maybe take Virgo, you know, we can take Virgo, and Virgo is half of Pisces, and Pisces is the first sign in the counterclockwise manner, or it is the second sign in the clockwise manner, or the second sign, and we would then have relations of Virgo, Pisces, and Aries, and Virgo, Pisces, and Taurus. We could do it that way. But I won't go into that. You get the method. DK suggests a pattern by which relationships are established. But not all the relationships that can be established by that pattern are given. So it's up to us to expand the method and see what other triangles we can come up with and how they would relate. I think what's important is for everybody to identify major triangles within his or her horoscope and see what do they mean for the kind of consciousness I'm trying to achieve right now. Two generic triangles are, of course, the ascendant, sun and moon. Another very spiritual triangle is the sun sign, the ascendant, and the point opposite the sun sign. But there may be other triangles implicate in the chart, and their meaning should be fathomed as much as may be possible. Okay. Now, that was a diversion, or a digression anyway, but it's trying to teach us a method that may be used. There are many methods that may be used. You saw some of the other ones I used as well, didn't you? I mean, what I did was I took all three levels of rulerships of a sign and then saw, as a result, all the signs to which that sign that I began with was related, all the signs to which the sign I began with was related to other signs. So, you know, just giving you an idea, we're looking at, let us say, Gemini. One of the rulers is Mercury. So via Mercury, we have Virgo, we have Scorpio, we have Aries. All three of those signs are pulled in via the Mercury rulership. We could do it also via Ray. We could do it via constellational ray, which DK has pretty well done for us, like Aries, Leo, Capricorn, all pulled in, two other signs through which the first ray comes through constellationally. But we could also pull in signs through which the first ray comes in planetarily and relate it to one of the constellational first ray signs. So the number of relationships is tremendous. And maybe demanding interpretation. But what's important is to find the important ones. Now, we had left with the idea that there are three important crises in a man's career, and I pointed out that DK called signs of crisis Libra, Leo, and Capricorn, and now DK is emphasizing Leo, Scorpio, and Capricorn. But I also pointed out that Libra Scorpio could, in a way, be considered one sign because the claws of the scorpion became later the triangle of Libra. But anyway, he talks about crises, and we'll have to discriminate. So here we have a description now of the type of crises provided by these three signs. The self-consciousness or human awareness. I am who I am and only that. That's the consciousness of lower Leo. Let me put it in here. That's not what I want. I don't want one of those numbers. I want something else here. Otherwise, it will become totally confusing. Okay. One day, someone will make sense out of this. So, we could say here, I am just what I am and only that. So, it's a lower unity, Leo. Lower unity. Then, the consciousness of warring dualities or discipleship in Scorpio. Now, we could say in Libra, we have the mental weighing of contrasting dualities which are not yet at war. What was it? Page 472, in which the various crises are discussed. Let's see if we turn to that page in Esoteric Astrology, 472, Crises of the Soul, not just the crisis of the aspirant, crisis of incarnation, individualization, cancer, sometimes it's called Leo, crisis of orientation, Aries, can I reverse the wheel and make a new beginning? Crisis of initiation, Capricorn, naturally. And the words associated with them, we'll get to that. But expansion is a fascinating word for a Saturnian sign. Thus, it is indeed a sign of opportunity. Crisis of renunciation, crucifixion, Gemini. In a way, I relinquish the lower of the pairs of opposites. Gemini is, of course, involved with other forms of crisis, perhaps duality. Crisis of the battlefield, conflict, Scorpio. That's fairly straightforward. Crisis of the birthplace, Virgo, but it's the crisis which maybe precedes the birthing in Capricorn. And crisis of the burning ground, liberation, it's a high meaning of Leo. So we have seven forms of crisis, and we can see how DK derives these. We will talk about that when we get to it. But, you know, the crisis of the battlefield is what we're involved in here with the three signs of crisis that DK is discussing now, namely Leo, Scorpio, and Capricorn. And group consciousness as an initiate, and this is a higher unity. So let's look at this is a lower unity, and this is a higher unity. The Leo is kind of a monolithic unity, and there's only one involved in the unity, and that is the subject himself. And the Capricorn begins that phase of realization where many others are included in the unity and not seen just as others. So Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces are all signs of group consciousness and a higher form of group consciousness altogether. Well, it's so interesting and intricate what DK does, saying, okay, these are the three signs of crisis, but I think, you know, he's talking about he's talking specifically about the aspirant. And now here are another three signs which he tells us are major three signs of crisis, does he say that? Involving three important crisis points in a man's career. And he told us of the Leo Libra Capricorn that they defined, these crisis points defined his level of evolution. Well, I guess you could say that about Leo, Scorpio, Capricorn as well. All right. Not to get lost in the intricacy, if possible. Only if we can make the intricacy yield some degree of light. Otherwise, it just becomes confusing. So this is a fire sign, and it is the preeminent fire sign at this time. Why would that be? I suppose because we are dealing with a period in which human beings in our present Aryan race are really becoming individuals. And so if we're going to look at Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, we would say the uppermost point of the triangle presently is occupied by Leo. I think we could say that. Okay. The sons of mind, the self-conscious sons of God, are above everything else the sons of fire, for our God is a consuming fire. Well, monadically, we are sparks descending from the one flame and attached to that one flame by the finest thread of Fohat. So we are sparks of the one flame. So the sons of mind, which we are at first, are really self-conscious sons of God. We are love and wisdom. We are love and mind together, and we realize that we are more than simply mind. We are in a way put forth by the soul nature. We are souls in incarnation. On our own plane, we are sons of God, and when we descend into matter, we begin by realizing that we are sons of mind preeminently, but mind becomes love-wisdom, just the way Mercury becomes the sun. And essentially, we are sons of fire because we have emanated from the spark of the one flame, and that spark of the one flame is the monad. The spark of the one flame is the monad. There is in them that peculiar quality which can burn and destroy, and so eradicate all that hinders their essentially divine expression. And I've sometimes pointed out in Rays and the Initiations, I think it's on page 82, okay, it's about fire and what fire is. Maybe it's at the end of 82. I'm hoping that that is the case. Fire is the sum total of that which destroys form, produces complete purity in that which is not itself, and generates warmth, which lies behind all growth, and is vitality itself. Fire is the sum total of that which destroys form, produces complete purity in that which is not itself, generates the warmth which is behind all growth, and is vitality itself. One of the important definitions of fire, and we are actually sons of fire, the monad is descended from the sun. It is that which has its home within the sun. Is this the heart of the sun, or is this ultimately the central spiritual sun? I think ultimately the central spiritual sun. And we are that, essentially. So we have within our nature as sons of fire that which can burn and destroy, and thus create purity in that which is not itself, thus creating purity in that which is not itself, but which grows in power to manifest through that which is not itself, so that it dominates with its nature that which is not itself. All right, and so eradicate all that hinders their essentially divine expression. So we purify our context, our environment, and become ever more radiant as we are on the higher planes. We become radiant below even as we are radiant above. I would have you bear in mind the purificatory nature of fire, so this we find in R.I., page 82. I would have you bear in mind the purificatory nature of fire, and the fiery pain which is associated with Leo on the fixed cross is a pain of purification. So fiery pain is a pain of purification as the inner self, let's call it a capital, tries to express itself in an increasingly unobstructed manner. Okay. There are two elements in nature which are concerned in the public consciousness with the thought of purification. Now, we're remembering that Leo, okay, Leo is an essentially second ray sign of the three fire signs, even though its constellational rays are 1 and 5. But it is the sign most associated with consciousness and with soul, and on our planet, soul is emerging. Emerging. The soul of the planetary logos. Thus, Leo, related to soul, is more prominent now. Now, in the ancient days, I suppose Sagittarius, representing the animal man, was very prominent. The individuality had not yet become fully what it could be. We did not have dominant personalities in large numbers in the old days, but we certainly had lots of animal men. Now later, and I would think even in the next solar system, Aries will be a very important sign because, well, at least now it gives so much of the first ray, and that will be a first ray solar system. It will be the system of God the Father. All right, there are two elements in nature which are concerned in the public consciousness with the thoughts of purification. One is water and the other is fire. They purify in different ways, you know, let's just say, how do they purify differently? I wonder how we can look at that. So, water washes away dirt. And fire increases the quality of matter so that it can powerfully express a higher energy. That's one way of thinking about it. It is in this connection that the water signs, Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces, are interesting. Now, what did we have earlier? We had three signs which were of the mother aspect. Let us try to remember those. Remember the three signs of the mother aspect, and they were Cancer, Virgo, and Pisces, I believe. And now we have Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. And remember, these were contrasted with Leo, Libra, and Capricorn of the father aspect. Okay, they are interesting, and the fire signs, Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, warrant study. He says one is interesting and one warrants study. So what we seem to have is fire and the application of mind. That's what he seems to be telling us. Obviously, we have to study all the signs, of course. But when we deal with fire signs, it is the mental principle particularly which first has to be applied. Fire always carries forward esoterically that which water has begun. Well, we know the story. John the Baptist baptized by water, but he told of one who was to come who would baptize by fire. So John the Baptist baptized with water at his second degree. The Christ as a sixth degree initiate, let's see if I have a code for that, baptized by fire or the Holy Spirit. So we can go through the cleansing process. See, one form of baptism is cleansing, and the other is reinforcing of the power of matter to accept spirit. So it's not only purification, but an empowerment. But an empowerment of matter to accept the power of fire and of the higher life, which is soul and spirit. See, matter is, until it's been cleansed by water, it can't possibly take the fire. It cannot possibly really show through the authenticity of the higher life. So one type of purification, the latter type of purification, makes it possible for matter to show forth the authenticity of the higher energies. Well, these are thoughts that occur. In Cancer, we're dealing with purification now. I guess, yes, he's going to go through these. And that is always something to be learned here. In Cancer, the purificatory waters of experience begin their beneficent work. We are cleansed in the ocean of emotion, I suppose. This is begun upon the cardinal cross because that cross deals only with wholes and therefore mass experience, so the first incarnation of humanity as a whole. So experience itself is purificatory. The pains of experience are in themselves purificatory. The water of increased sensitivity, emotional, flows. So the purifying waters of experience is going to gradually wear away through loss, wearing away through loss of that to which we are attached. You know that Cancer, of course, identifying with whatever it sees at first, will attach to that which it sees, but the way the first ray operates cyclically, there will always be a negation of the power to hold, as we are told in esoteric psychology, in the first ray description. Why this negation of the power to hold? Why this decay of forms? Why the negation of the power to hold? Why death, Almighty Son of God? So, through the detachment, which is the antithesis of what Cancer is, we have experience as purification. In Scorpio, the purificatory waters of testing and trials are applied much more focally and intensely. This takes place upon the fixed cross, and their effect is drastic in this extreme. This is a real, not just a gentle, ongoing detachment at death as the normal experience of humanity, but a real rending process. Yes. And in Pisces, the waters of purification are applied through daily life and the processes of incarnation. Well, he's going backwards a little bit. This is not Pisces as the world savior, but Pisces as the ruler of tears. The ruler of tears. They actually do, the sign does correlate physiologically with the tear glands and the tear ducts. They apply to the fish swimming in the waters of matter and finding there its sustenance. That is, what is this fish swimming in the waters of matter? This is the incarnated soul. This is upon the mutable cross, and the cardinal cross began very early in the game. I mean, the cardinal cross is dealing with great holes and the immersion of humanity as a whole into experience. The mutable cross is ordinary existence. The drastic tests of Scorpio have to do with preparation for initiation. So we're talking about ordinary life. This is upon the mutable cross, ordinary material existence and experience. Thus, the influence of the three crosses is brought to bear upon the incarnated Son of God. So the very beginning, which is in a way the end too, is indicated by the cardinal cross, Scorpio doesn't really come next in terms of the life cycle of the human being. It comes last. The ordinary mutable cross experiences of Pisces, washing away and purifying through increased sensitivity and compassion and through the tears of loss, which are allied in a way to the tears of loss of Cancer. Thus, the influence of the three crosses that brought to bear upon the incarnated Son of God upon the wheel of ordinary life, and he says, in the usual order. But I don't know really what that means, because in a way, the drastic tests of Scorpio have to come after the tests of the mutable cross. Well, maybe he's talking about, no, it couldn't be. If he begins with Cancer and proceeds clockwise, he will reach Pisces first. If he begins with Cancer and proceeds counterclockwise, he will reach Scorpio first. And that seems to be the way in which these signs are given. Upon the reverse wheel reverse, the fire takes the place of water and burns away all dross. Well, I would say that even disciples and aspirants can be subjected to forms of purification which involve water. Yes, I would say so, because if you think about it, Scorpio is applied at the first two initiations. Of course, it's got drastic experiences. It causes drastic experiences even before that. But water is applied on the counterclockwise wheel, the wheel of consciousness. But anyway, in general, water is purification for the average man, and fire later for the advancing soul on the counterclockwise wheel. So on the wheel reverse, the fire takes the place of water and burns away all dross. And let's just say, if we want to get an image of what happens here, that the dross is loosened by water and then more easily burned away. It is somewhat detached, and when we detach something that has to burn, we can burn that without burning that from which it is detached. Purification of the entire nature is thus gradually achieved. What if it's a second-rate process, not a first-rate process, because destruction is the first-rate process and organization the third. So purification is a second-rate process. And what it's doing is making it possible for the for matter to reflect the archetype more accurately. That's what's actually happening with purification. Matter is opaque to the inner realities before it is purified. When purified, it can begin to be permeated by the inner realities and to express the inner reality. So purification of the entire nature is thus achieved gradually, and the man becomes sensitive to the influences which can be brought to bear upon him when the fiery triplicity plays its part and the influence of Aries, Leo, Sagittarius begins to reorient him towards universality. That is, well, let's just put it like this. The higher form of purification reorients towards universality. So towards universality, self-consciousness, and one-pointed attitudes. Universality is Aries, or is represented by Aries, but remember that Pisces plays its share in universality, and so does Aquarius. Self-consciousness, whatever level the self may be functioning upon, self-consciousness is Leo, and one-pointed attitudes found, as they must be found in the disciple, is represented by Sagittarius, is Sagittarius. So we are reversing the wheel, and we begin to have the one-pointed attitude of the disciple. We begin to realize I am that, or the higher self, which is a higher form of self-consciousness. In this case, Leo follows Sagittarius, and then finally we reach Aries. Or we can do it this way. We can begin with Leo and say this is self-consciousness. Now I am one-pointedly oriented towards the higher Leonian self, but that one point of orientation is through Sagittarius. And finally, I come all the way around to Aries, where the universal self is realized, God the Father as the one and only self is realized. So what's the important thing to extract from this? There are different forms of purification. Water precedes fire. Water applies to the average man. The purificatory methods of water applies to the average man, but also can be found applying to those upon the probationary path. I want to say, I'll put it down here, water can also reasonably be found to apply as a method of purification on the path of probation. But by the time we really reverse the wheel and are moving as a will-driven, mind-focused disciple, we are using purificatory methods of fire, which lead us into increasing self-consciousness, which develop in us the disciplic one-pointed attitudes, which help us realize ourselves as a higher unity of self in I Am That, and which finally bring us around to the point where the monad, God the Father, is telling us of our spiritual oneness with all being. Okay. Excuse me. As we go on with our study, the significance of this statement will increasingly appear. So the statement is, let us read it again, purification of the entire nature is thus gradually achieved, and the man becomes, under fire, sensitive under fire. Interesting. We're under fire. You know how it is in a war, you're under fire. Well, as a disciple, you're under fire too. Is gradually achieved, and the man becomes sensitive to the influences which can be brought to bear upon him when the fiery triplicity plays its part, and the influence of Aries, Leo, Sagittarius begins to reorient him towards universality, the ultimate, to which the other two lead. Universality, self-consciousness in its three levels, and one-pointed attitudes. Even the one-pointed attitude of the sixth-degree initiate, which is about who is about to take a great outward-bound monadic adventure to points unknown by us, but intuited by the one who has made the choice at the sixth degree. Okay, let's move on. As we go on with our study, the significance of this statement will increasingly appear. I'm hinting at matters of spiritual and esoteric importance because this sign, Leo, is of paramount control in the life of the aspirant. What a statement. Because he has to find his dominating self, has to find the soul as the dominant. He has to find who he really is, and to make the choices which help him disidentify from the elemental pulls. There's kind of like a sequence. It goes lower Leo, Libra, higher Leo, you might think of it. And the life of the aspirant who is lower Leo is trying to make those important decisions that will make of him higher Leo, or the group conscious self. So the fifth petal of the egoic lotus is when it is organizing and being stimulated, organized and unfolded, making the aspirant in the initial stages. And it also, in its completeness, makes the first degree initiate who, in a way, is still an aspirant. Master DK is training aspirants for initiation, but he considers the initiate of the first and second degree to be an aspirant. Well, everybody's an aspirant, depends on what they are striving to achieve, but the early stages of probationary discipleship are from the perspective of the masters, including people who are aspirants to initiation. So Leo is of paramount control. There's the idea of control. Fire signs are signs of control, really. Aries in the beginning seems to indicate impulse and lack of control, but Leo is a dominating sign, and Sagittarius is a one-pointed controller, orienting towards nothing less than initiation in Capricorn itself. So we have to, and you know, Capricorn is a sign of control, Scorpio is a sign of control, ultimately Aries, on a very high turn of the spiral, recognizes what the will really is, and from that will within himself, I come forth, and from the plane of mind, fed by will, I rule, also control. But the undeveloped man is always, in a way, out of control according to the nature of his sign. His sign offers what I might call elemental expressivity rather than the expressivity of the soul and even later of the spirit. Okay, so he's hinting at matters of spiritual and esoteric importance because this sign, Leo, is of paramount control in the life of the aspirant. He has to know himself through true self-awareness before he can know that divine spirit, which is his true self and also his fellow man. It is the self of the divine spirit is the self of himself and of his fellow men, and also he has to learn about his fellow men through the second stage of Leo, the I am that, which is inclusive of all others. So three phases of Leo, but this to me, you know, something I really haven't noticed before. We have the path of probation ruled by Libra, on which the aspirant places his foot. And so it's the path of many choices, but it is Leo, I suppose, as the soul emerging into dominance, which is meant to be a paramount control in the life of the aspirant. Well, the aspirant can be controlled by a lower sense of self, but the aspirant can also be increasingly controlled by a higher sense of the higher self as he becomes more and more the disciple. Leo is part of the Sphinx, and upon this I need not enlarge, as we have touched upon it elsewhere. It is a great mystery, that's for sure, because we often don't know whether Leo is to be considered the animal part, the king of beasts, and the woman or Virgo, the higher, or whether Leo is to be considered the representation of the glorious sun self and Virgo, the elemental nature or matter, which has to be subservient. After all, Leo is ruled by the sun in all three levels, and Virgo is ruled by the moon esoterically. So both ways are possible conceptions. I wonder, you know, sometimes I think I've seen pictures of the lion self in the top position with the body of a woman. I'm trying to remember whether this is the case. Well, anyway, this is a great mystery. Virgo and Leo together stand for the whole man, and we remember that they do at one point when the zodiac is to become a zodiac of 11 again. They were a united sign. When they are to become a zodiac of 11 again, it's Virgo Libra, which is a different kind of union, which will oppose its opposite, Pisces, Aries, making 10 signs, not 11. It's the mystery of higher mind, in a way. And of course, Leo does represent the higher levels of the mental plane where higher mind is found and where the true individuality emerges. So, you know, we can look at it in two ways. You know, Virgo above Leo, when Leo is the personality and the Christ nature is just coming into recognizability and beginning to be the higher of the pairs of opposites. So we have two signs together which represent the pairs of opposites, Virgo representing the higher, more human side, and Leo the king of beasts, or the elemental personality. Now, from another point of view, when Leo is really the dominating higher self, Virgo can represent the feminine aspect, which becomes, in a way, subservient to the higher will of the Leonian or masculine aspect. The sun is blazing forth in all its glory, and the Virgo ruled by the moon is being purified and is reflecting the blazing sun. So there's another way of looking at the contrast. This is a great mystery. Virgo and Leo together stand for the whole man, for the God-man, as well as for spirit-matter. Well, just take a look at the planes ruled. Look at the planes ruled by Leo and Virgo. We have the Virgoic plane, and the monadic plane. So in one way, we have the divine masculine and the divine feminine. We have the God-man is the soul and personality, but spirit matter is encapsulated in a way by the relationship of the logoic plane to the monadic plane, which numbers with itself six below. So in a way, matter is everything below the Leo plane of spirit, the divine flames, the highest of the manifested creative hierarchies. So this combination operates on the soul personality level, and it also operates on the spirit matter level. And perhaps on the spirit matter level, it's, you know, we find a real justification for Leo's dominant position to Virgo. On the level of soul, we find that both can obtain, both the Leo Virgo as soul and personality, and Virgo as dominating soul and his purified personality, and Virgo Leo as the inner Christ principle beginning to teach the lower man ruled by Leo. It is important then to have this in mind, for when the nature of the world is revealed, then the mystery of the Sphinx will no longer exist. This is a great hint, and one which is difficult to solve at the moment, the nature of the world. Perhaps, let's just say that man does not know who he is yet. Man does not yet know who he is, and the Sphinx is essentially asking him of his identity. What was the question of the Sphinx? You know, what goes on four legs in the morning, two legs in the afternoon, and three legs in the evening? You know, it's a mystery of man, isn't it? Because as an infant, the man is crawling on four. As a mature human being, the man is a biped walking on two legs, and as his body begins to weaken, he supports himself with a cane, and he travels on three legs, as it were. So it's all about who man is. So when the nature of the world is revealed, man will know exactly who he is, and there will be no need for the Sphinx to ask him these unanswerable questions, which so many failed to answer and thus were devoured or killed or, well, made to reincarnate, I suppose. When the crocodile eats the heart that's being weighed in the Egyptian mysteries, you have to reincarnate. And I suppose when the Sphinx devours you, you've got to go back until you find out who you really are. Here he deals with the keynotes early on. Oftentimes he deals with them later. The keynotes of this sign are exceedingly well-known. They sound out the note of individuality and true self-consciousness, knowing oneself very, very well. And sometimes being an actor to act out the various aspects of oneself accumulated over many lives and objectifying these latent aspects until one really sees what is in oneself. One learns to see what is in oneself through objectification. If I play many roles, I find, you know, who am I? I think of the great actor Laurence Olivier. Who was he? He could be anything. He was so protean. Well, it's a Leo process, even though he was essentially Taurus and Gemini. Many people are convinced that they are self-conscious when they are only swayed by desire and are oriented towards the satisfaction of the desire, or when they recognize themselves as the dramatic center of the universe. This is a this is a lower form of self-consciousness. Let's just say we are very impressed by some desire which is driving us, or we see ourselves superficially as very important in relation to others. I want to say this. Without Scorpio and Pluto, we will never know the depths of ourselves. So the first impression of what we are is very superficial, indeed. You know, there are people who think they know themselves, but they know only what the conscious mind has told them. They don't know anything about themselves superconsciously. They don't know anything about themselves subconsciously. Becoming an actor, I think, can help you learn about yourself in both respects. Yet the only true self-conscious person, truly self-conscious person, is the man who is aware of purpose. So he's connected with a higher part of himself, of a self-directed life, and of a developed and definite plan and program. And I would say, not just coming from his own lower ego, egoistic aims, but purpose and direction coming from a deeper level of self, which is also self, and which must be known. Yes. Well, we're getting near. Maybe we can finish this paragraph. When these are present, the self-directed life and a developed and definite plan and program, this, the really self-conscious Leo, is meant to carry out. Where these are present, the inference is that there is mental perception and some measure of integration. Maybe higher self is not yet known, but a person at least knows what he intends from the normally from the levels of normal consciousness. To be motivated only by emotion and actuated by desire is no indication of true self-consciousness. We need to use the mind, and remember, Leo was the fifth sign, thus correlating with the mind, the fifth principle, and it gives us the fifth ray as well. And it so we need to use the mind to know who we are, to examine what we are, rather than just be swayed by emotional promptings. In the undeveloped man, it is far more instinctual than is self-awareness. So, man wants to act out what he wants to act out, but he doesn't really see himself in context. This requires a mental examination to see, because the mind and the eye are allied. One must see oneself in increasingly great context. In the truly developed self-conscious man, not only is direction, purpose, and plan present, but also a consciousness of the active agent of the plan and action. Ponder on this. So a higher self is known. So not just direction, plan, and purpose, which may be personally instigated. Okay, let's see. Put it this way. Which may be instigated from the personal center, but knowledge of a higher center. A higher self is known. A higher center is known. I mean, how can we say that we're truly self-conscious if all we know is what normal consciousness reveals to us, and we don't know what we have been, and we don't know what we are to become on the basis of a higher center which has been there all the time and about which we are completely ignorant? How can that be real self-consciousness? So what he says in the truly developed self-conscious man, not just what he calls the self-conscious man, the word truly there is so important, there is that sense of the higher center. This makes the really, truly self-conscious man, and it means that we have moved from the lower stage of Leo to the higher. Okay. No major mishaps so far. The time has come. This is the end of Esoteric Astrology 89, Section B. And I suppose we're on a page somewhere here. No, that's not correct. Number lock. 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 89. We are on page 289, and we will begin beginning of EAA 89C, page, well, maybe it's not going to be 89. Maybe it's going to have to be 90A, because I intend to close this down and try to send you a number of these programs that have been recently created but not yet prepared. Okay, friends, this is, things are doubling up on me right now. Okay, this is maybe the end of our work for today, and we'll be going on with Section A, continuing with this fascinating and most important sign, Leo, most human of all signs and most important dominating sign for the aspirant on the path of probation, DK tells us. So we'll see you then. See you then.